Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is asserting your personal power. Each of my guests will explain how we can gain or regain our personal power. My first guest is one of the country's leading authorities on infidelity. She'll give us the clues whether our mate is being unfaithful from her book, Is He Cheating on You? 829 Telltale Signs. My second guest is a corporate refugee who used her creative vision to turn Facebook into a marketing tool for her business back in 2007, long before anybody else thought of the idea. She'll share her wisdom about social media marketing from her book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Social Media Marketing. My third guest is known as the Inspiration to Creation Coach. She inspires people to create the results they desire in their work and in their life. She'll show us how to combine our purpose and our passion so we can achieve most inspired results. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Ruth Houston, is an infidelity expert. She's the founder of www.infidelityadvice.com, and she's the author of Is He Cheating on You? 829 Telltale Signs. She's been researching infidelity for over 16 years. Ruth has been quoted in all the major publications that you can imagine, USA Today, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, our own Los Angeles Times, and the list goes on and on. She's been on Fox News, ABCNews.com, Reuters, The Associated Press, UPI, and numerous other print and online media worldwide. She's been a guest on The Today Show, Good Morning America, Fox and Friends, and she's been on television in the United States, Canada, Europe, South America, New Zealand, Australia, Africa, and the Caribbean. She writes for the National Infidelity Examiner at examiner.com. Welcome to the show today, Ruth. How are you?
I'm fine.
Well, thank you for being our guest. We love having thought leaders and experts such as yourself to come on the show and talk about their particular subject. What I find interesting that is that infidelity is a growing problem, particularly here in Southern California. I've read some estimates that show roughly 30 to 60% of all married individuals, and that's just in the United States, will engage in infidelity at some point during their marriage. So let's get right to it. What's the root cause of infidelity, and what is infidelity?
Well, the root cause varies as to whether you're talking about a male or a female. If we look at the top reasons that men and women cheat, they do differ. Men, and remember now we're summing it up in a nutshell, men tend to cheat for what I call sexual reasons or ego embellishment reasons. They're looking for more sex, a different type of sex, sex with a different person. Opportunistic sex, they're presented with an opportunity to have sex with someone without getting caught, so they go for it. Women, on the other hand, and there are exceptions in each case, women, on the other hand, tend to cheat for emotional reasons because they're looking for an emotional connection. It's directly related to their unhappiness or unhappiness with the relationship, whereas that is not necessarily the case with men. Happy men will cheat. There have been three studies that were released about 3 years ago that supported that fact. However, a woman, by and large, will cheat if she's unhappy. Now, you do have age that comes into play. younger women, and when we say younger, we're talking about perhaps under 25, certainly in the under 20, these young women will cheat for the same reasons that men cheat. They're primarily sexual reasons or ego embellishment reasons, to impress their friends, just for the thrill, to make themselves feel more important.
How very interesting. All right, so the differences between men and women are varied, and they're clearly there, but it does take two to tango.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. So let's just talk about some of the more recent headline news stories of people cheating. There was Elliot Spitzer, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, John Edwards, President Bill Clinton, Ashton Kutcher. They're all alleged to have been unfaithful to their wives. And why is the man typically blamed for infidelity? Because it does take two to tango.
It does, but within the relationship itself, it's generally, unfortunately, the man that strays. And I know men don't like to hear this, but it's a fact. Ashton certainly had no reason to be unhappy in his marriage. Certainly, Elliot Spitzer didn't have any problems in his marriage. The case with Dominique Strauss-Kahn, he had a wife. Now, in this case, we're not blaming the wife, but sometimes a wife can inadvertently create a climate that fosters infidelity, such as may have been the case with Ashton Kutcher, where his wife is sort of taking up for him, making excuses for him with his previous episodes of infidelity. This time she put her foot down, no more, no one's making any excuses for him or standing up to support him and say it's all a mistake, it never really happened.
My guest is
repeaters become repeaters if they don't suffer any negative consequences as a result of their infidelity. Remember now, we talked about the reasons that men cheat, primarily sexual or ego embellishment reasons. No one's holding a gun to his head to make him cheat. He's cheating because he enjoys what he's doing. So, if he does not suffer any negative consequences as a result of that, he has no reason to stop. So unless he loses his job, his wife, his family, his reputation, his money, his health by contracting an STD, if nothing bad happens, he has no real reason to stop.
All right, let me stop you right there. I want to hit the pause button. My guest is Ruth Houston. She's the author of the book, Is He Cheating on You? 829 Telltale Signs. So you're saying the only reason that men stop is because they get caught. There's no remorse, there's no pang, there's no guilt feelings associated.
Some of them do feel guilty and stop. You have some men who cheat once. The guilt is overwhelming. The consequences are overwhelming, and they never cheat again. But you do have those like Jesse James who or become repeat cheaters.
All right. So repeat cheaters, got it. I understand the difference there. Now, something else in that last answer that really piqued my interest is that the wife can inadvertently create a climate for infidelity. How would a wife go about doing that? What are some of the ways in which a wife might inadvertently create the opportunity for her husband to cheat?
If he has cheated once, giving him, offering forgiveness on a silver platter with no conditions. Okay, you're sorry, I'll forgive you, and we'll go, I'll pick up from there and move on. Or not paying enough attention to what's going on in his life to pick up on the sign. It is absolutely impossible for anyone to cheat, no matter how carefully they attempt to cover their tracks, without leaving signs of some kind. You have two primary type categories of signs. You have obvious signs. You have subtle signs. There will always be subtle signs the cheater is not even aware that he or she is displaying. But if that person's mate is aware of the subtle signs, they may even be able to catch the infidelity before it starts. Because when a person starts to develop an infidelity, what I call an infidelity mindset, where they're seriously thinking about cheating, not just admiring someone and saying, oh, I wonder what it would be like, but seriously considering cheating. When a person develops that mindset, they start to display subtle signs that they're not even aware of. But if their mate is aware of what some of those subtle signs are, and they pick up on it, they may be able to stop it before it even starts.
All right. Well, yeah, your book picks up 829 telltale signs of infidelity. I mean, that's exhaustive. But give us an idea of some of these subtle signs that you're talking about. And this is an intriguing part. So the person who's considering infidelity may be exuding these signs without even knowing it. What should people look for, some of these subtle signs?
Now, remember, I'm going to give you a few, but remember, signs cannot be taken in isolation. That's why it doesn't make sense to get caught up in the top 10 signs, because there are way too many signs. But if you pick up on some of the subtle signs, we're talking about combinations of signs. Signs, not the only, in fact, the only time when you can go on one sign is if that sign is walking in and catching your partner in the act.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're talking about multiple signs. Subtle signs, eye contact. If a person is cheating or seriously thinking about cheating, there will be diminished eye contact or no eye contact at all. So if your mate suddenly stops looking you in the eye or greatly diminishes their eye contact with you, something's wrong. You need to check into it. It may be infidelity. It could be something else. There's definitely a problem, but that is one of the subtle signs of infidelity. One of the other subtle signs is what the person chooses or refuses to talk about. All of a sudden, your mate starts talking about a new person, a work contact, a neighbor, a friend at the health club or the gym. That's all they can talk about constantly, over and over and over again. John, John, John. Every conversation, John. Or Mary, Mary, Mary. Every conversation, Mary. And then suddenly, John or Mary's name completely drops out of the conversation, and you never hear anything else. That's when things have taken a turn that you need to check into.
All right. These are incredible signs. My guest is Ruth Houston. Ruth, I want to take this up 30,000 feet and take a look at this from a higher level, because infidelity or lack of intimacy, it's kind of a natural outgrowth of this till death do us part philosophy of marriage, the whole concept of marriages lasting forever. I mean, back when we came up with fidelity, back when we came up with lifelong marriages, life expectancy was about 47 years for men. And that was at the turn of the 20th century, just a little bit more than 85 years ago. Marriages, by definition, are lasting longer and longer. So there's going to be more of this opportunity to cheat, certainly more of this opportunity to stray. Do you think that marriage is a contract that should be renewed every 7 years to help alleviate some of this cheating and some of the infidelity that we see in our society?
No, I don't. And that's both my personal and professional opinion. Marriage should be a lifetime thing. If you're not going into it for a lifetime, then you shouldn't get into it to begin with. So certainly it's not something to be jumped into and with the idea that if it doesn't work, I'll move on. That's not the attitude to have for a marriage. If that's your attitude, then you shouldn't be married. You know, if you feel that you may not be able to stay or remain faithful to your mate, then you should not get married. No one's making you get married.
True. No one puts a gun to your head unless, of course, it's a shotgun wedding. But
exactly.
Assuming that that's not the case, I mean, that is true. But there are other reasons to get married. I mean, there are potentially financial reasons to get married. Certainly there are emotional reasons. And emotional reasons can change over time as one's emotions change. So, again, I come back to, you know, lifelong marriage. Back when it was nice an idea to have in the 18th, 19th century when life expectancies were a lot shorter, that's one thing. But is it realistic in today's world?
Yes, it still is. If it's a financial arrangement or a business arrangement or, you know, something other than love, then this is where communication comes in, communication and compromise. Certainly the commitment factor is gone if it's just an arranged marriage. There is no real sense of commitment. But communication, if you are feeling that you need to go outside your marriage, then you need to discuss that with your mate. Many marriages have arrangements. I am not condoning it, but what we consider cheating varies from person to person. You and your mate need to be on the same page about what cheating is. Sexting, texting, emotional infidelity, online liaisons, these are considered cheating. Some people don't consider them cheating. The true question is, what does your mate consider cheating to be? If your mate does not consider sexting cheating to to be a form of infidelity, then and you do, then you've got a problem. The two of you need to be on the same page regarding the definition of infidelity, and you also need to be on the same page as to what the consequences will be if someone violates whatever the agreement is between the two of you as a couple.
That's very sage advice. My guest is Ruth Houston, author of the book, Is He Cheating on You? 829 Telltale Signs. Ruth, if people want to learn, well, first of all, what do you want readers to take away from reading Is He Cheating on You?
What I would like readers to take away is that the first step to solving an infidelity problem, or a problem of any kind, really, is realizing that the problem exists. I believe that everyone should have a good infidelity reference book in their library, their personal library. It doesn't necessarily have to be mine, although mine is more signed than any of the others. But the way you have a good medical reference book, you can't possibly know every possible sign of health, every possible symptom that's detrimental to your health. So when something serious happens, you check your reference book. When you get a headache, you don't go, oh, my God, I have a brain tumor. Let me go and contact a brain surgeon. You check and see if there are other associated symptoms. The same thing with infidelity. You need a way to check and see if there are signs in your relationship of a problem such as infidelity that may be fatal to your relationship.
And your book gives 829 of those telltale signs. My guest has been Ruth Houston. Ruth, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would direct them to nationalinfidelity.com. That is the infidelity advice column that I write for examiner.com. Nationalinfidelity.com or my infidelity blog, infidelityadvice.com. There you will find over 300 different articles on dealing with aspects of infidelity ranging from discovery to recovery.
That is
InfidelityAdvice.com, NationalInfidelity.com.
Ruth, it has been a delight and very eye-opening. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah.